Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened as we look into the Word of God, that we may know what is the hope of our calling and the inheritance of the saints, and that we may understand the power that's on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that Holy Spirit is ministering to us today from your Word, because we know that He is our teacher. He is the one who brings change into our lives and causes the Word of God to come alive in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to address something before I actually get into what I'm going to preach about. But I want to address something that that is happening today. I don't know how many of you listen to the news. I'm talking about more Christian news, like Flashpoint, what are some of the others, different things, Victory News and places like that. And then, of course, the whole Charlie Kirk USA, how is that, Turning Point USA. And they just had a big convention and where there was disagreement among some of the speakers and leaders there. And you may not know this, but this is what's happening in the church, overall, in the church realm. And the disagreement revolves around how they view Israel. How they view Israel. I think the Word of God is very clear. I think the Word of God is very clear. That we are not, the church is not taking in place of Israel, physical Israel. It is called the replacement teaching or replacement doctrine, where the church is taking the place of Israel, so God's really not concerned about Israel or really working with Israel anymore. Well, if you read Romans at all, you know that that's not true. Because in Romans chapter 9, in verse 8, it says that the Jewish people are the children of the promise and that they are accounted as Abraham's seed. They are not all the children of Abraham are accounted as the seed of the promise, because you have Ishmael. Abraham had children with Keturah later on. The Bible is clear about that. But there was a promise made to Abraham that the nations would be blessed through his son Isaac. And so anyone that comes from Isaac, then he came down to Judah, and the seed, it's where the seed came from, or the seed of the promise came down through all the way to Jesus. That had to be established and continued, had to be followed in order to prove that God kept his promise concerning redemption. Amen. And then we have the Old Testament, which is really about the thread of our redemption all the way through. And we have in the Old Testament many prophecies, promises to the children of Israel. And it was to the nation of Israel. Are you hearing me? God made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Jacob. He made a covenant with Israel through Moses. He made a covenant with his people all the way down through. And then that covenant, in a sense, was fulfilled when Jesus came and when he died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, then that promise was spread out to the Gentiles as well. But it never says that that took the place of God's covenant with the seed of Abraham that came through Isaac. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So there is a teaching out there called the replacement doctrine. Now, I felt it necessary to address it this morning for some reason. But that teaching comes around every so often. Anytime when there's a false teaching or something that's not quite right according to the Word of God, Brother Hagin used to say it this way. When we were at school, he said it this way. He said it comes around again and again and again. But when it comes around again, it usually has a different name. Like an example would be spiritual warfare. There is stuff about spiritual warfare that is not scriptural. There is spiritual warfare. But there's stuff that when we were doing in the charismatic move, people went all, way off track concerning spiritual warfare. And they began to do things which were not scriptural and called it spiritual warfare. Well, now, as time goes on, that kind of faded. And then just recently, or maybe in the last 10 years, there was again stuff that came up that was not scriptural concerning spiritual warfare. And Brother Hagin used to say, it comes around about every 10 years or so. It just cycles around again and again. You know why? Because the devil has nothing new. He has nothing new. The devil cannot create anything. He is full of lies. He can't tell the truth. And he has nothing new. That sure doesn't... I mean, God's just the opposite. Amen? So where was I? So that's what has happened with what we call the replacement doctrine. When we were at Rhema, there was a big ado about this. And Brother Hagin would speak about it and show us from the Word of God that it's not scriptural. And then as years went by, it came up again, and it seemed more recently that... And what it does is really some of the church realm is buying into the anti-Semitism that's happening. That's the danger of it. They're saying the Jews aren't that important to God. And they're saying Israel is not that important to God. And it leads, and there are people and generations, like even our one daughter, is kind of believing some of this lie. That the covenant isn't necessarily to the children of Israel or the Jews as we know them, but it's to the church. But if that is true, then the covenant of Abraham would be broken. And if it's broken, then we may as well just throw out the Bible. Because God will never break his covenants. Never. So there are some prominent leaders like Tucker Carlson is one of them, who's kind of pushing this kind of doctrine. And there's a few others. Candace Owen, I think, is another one. And they're kind of, and some of the young people are buying into this. Now, again, it doesn't mean that those individuals are completely wrong, but they are wrong in this type of thing, and it has caused a rift in some of the leaders in the movement of, like Charlie Kirk, and in that movement. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention, because according to Romans chapter 11, we are a part of the same root. The children of Israel, the people in Israel, Jewish people today, are still part of the root. And we have been grafted into this tree that's part of the same root. And we are thankful to the Jewish people because it is through them that we got Jesus. It is through them that we got redemption. Doesn't mean they're all born again. They have to get born again just the same as we do. And then it says when they do, they're grafted back in. Yes. If the branch is broken up, they can be grafted back in. So I think the Word of God is very clear. And you know, in that study, we use this scripture a lot. We say his calling and gifts are irrevocable. Yes. Right? Yes. Do you ever look at what context that's in? Yep. That is in the context of what I'm talking about. It's in the context of the Jewish nation being called by God, and redemption would come through them, and that in a sense they're a special people. Yes. And see, that's part of the argument the other time. Why are they so special? Well, in God's eyes, we're all the same, and that's very clear from Paul. He says there is neither Jew nor Greek in the kingdom of God. Are you with me?
Yes.
But there is still something about the prophecies that are being fulfilled from the Old Testament that still apply to that nation today. And you can't deny that. And many of these prophecies are being fulfilled in our lifetime.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing. Since 1948, many of the prophecies are being fulfilled.
Yes.
I mean, like before 1948, Israel was a desert. It was a desert. You know why it was a desert? Because when the Turks controlled Israel, they put a tax on trees. You can find it in history. And what are you going to do if your trees are taxed? I'm going to cut mine down. But you cut down all the trees, it causes a desert to form. Because trees pull the rain. Haiti done the same thing. One part of Haiti is just but then you go right across the island to the Dominican Republic, and it's as lush as can be. So God, in this scripture in Romans 11:29, his call and his giftings to Israel are irrevocable because it's in that setting. It doesn't mean we can't use it for how people use it. The call in your life is God won't change that. I'm not saying you can't use it for that. But really, the setting of the scripture, if you study it, is talking about Israel and the call on the nation of Israel. And I thank God that we are in a time when we are seeing these prophecies fulfilled, because Jesus said, or it says in the end times, these things will happen. So we definitely are at the end of the end times. The end times is usually 2,000 years when they refer to end times. But now we're at the end of the end times. And Israel is blossoming today. How can Israel survive without the help of God? I mean, this little nation, what, the size of New Jersey? This little nation has survived since 1948 against all odds. This nation of Israel has survived throughout the Old Testament, always being outnumbered in battle, almost always. And the only way they survived is because of the intervention of God. Always. I mean, that's what we use so many promises. When he comes and he says, the battle is not yours, the battle is God's. Yes. You know, he gets trying to get the children of Israel, even though they're far outnumbered, to believe in faith that God is going to deliver them. And he does over and over again. He's still doing the same thing today. When Jesus comes back, Israel as a nation will be in existence. Yes. And that happened again in 1948. We believe also that somehow the temple is going to be rebuilt. How that happens, we don't know. But it apparently is going to happen, according to scripture and prophecy. Hey, the signs are there. And Jesus said, when the fig tree starts to get leaves, it's about to happen. He said, watch the fig tree. He's referring to Israel. Are you here today?
Yes.
So let's not buy into this lie. Let's not get into the anti-Semitism that is happening today. Why is there so much hate against Jews? Why? You know, somebody says, well, you know, we don't really need to defend Israel and help Israel. I'll tell you, if they're wiped out, they're going to come after the Christians next. They will. If the terrorists ever could wipe out Israel, we're next. Believers are next. That's how serious it actually is. But we have seen, even in present history, 1967, 1972, we have seen things happen where Israel was saved by a miracle.
Yes.
No other explanation. 1967, I was 14, and I still remember Six-Day War. Yeah, I was born in 1953, is that right? 1967, I think Steve was doing some math in his head there. I was alive, and I remember some of the reports. There was nations all around Israel. We're going to attack at the same time and drive them into the sea. You know, what's the saying that they use today? To drive them into the sea. They still use that same phrase today. From the river to the sea, to drive them into the sea to get rid of Israel. That's always terrorists. That's what they cry. This all this anti-Semitism and so on. And it's happening in our nation today. So let's make sure that we don't give in to that, because we are instructed to pray for Jerusalem, for the peace of Jerusalem. That means we're instructed to pray for Israel. Amen. Amen. And God said, those that bless Israel will be blessed. And as long as the United States of America blesses Israel and is on their side, the nation will be blessed. If we lose that, things will change in this nation as well. So So let's continue to pray for Israel. Let's pray. You know, in Zechariah, there's a scripture. It says in the end days that Jerusalem will be a stumbling block to the nations. Did you ever know that? Zechariah. Well, what's the stumbling block to the nations today? Jerusalem. Who owns Jerusalem? So anyway, enough said, huh? Just trying to encourage us to make sure we stay on the right track. All right. So the promises in the Old Testament to Israel have not changed. God will fulfill his word, and he will not break his covenants. Estimated 8 million Jews in the world, 16 million, and 8 million live in Israel. And like I was saying, they're hated everywhere. That's because God's promise is wrapped up in it. So the devil hates them. Because every time you look at the nation of Israel, you're realizing that there is a covenant and there is an almighty God. And that's why the devil hates them so much. So we are going into a new year. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes people say, well, I need a new word, or I need a message from God. And fine, that's fine. But I find many people say those things and are just zeroing in on that, and many people get into the flesh because of it. They get into the mind realm. I believe there are certain words and certain times when God will give you a word or give a word to a congregation or maybe to a nation or a group of people. That happens. But I think it happens by the Spirit if it's really a word from God. It's not where I sit around for 2 days and try to figure out what the word is. And I'm not saying that is bad. I'm not saying you can't do that. But let's not say it's a word from God if it isn't. If it's a word that I think is a good word for this year, fine. That's great. And that can be a blessing to people. But let's not attribute it to God saying this thing if it came out of my mind. I'm knocking down another thing, I guess. We are commanded to live by the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen? And when we live by the Spirit, you will find that it will set people free. We call some of these things New Year's resolutions. I don't know about you, but I have long ago stopped making New Year's resolutions. Because they put me in bondage. By the end of the month, I'm not even keeping it anymore. End of January, even sooner than that. 15 days in, I'm no longer keeping it. And then I feel all condemned. What's with that? If you want to make New Year's resolutions, that's fine. You can do it. But what I'm saying is, let's make sure that we're speaking what God really speaks. And from that, I don't have a special word for Abundant Life Center. We have the Word of God. Maybe I'll get it. Maybe we'll get a special word in the next couple of weeks. I don't know. I'm not going to strive for it. We're just going to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen? But I do want to say some things about vision. Because it seems when we go into a new year that it's like turning over a new page. Even though if you really think about it, here I'll knock another one down. If you really think about it, it's just the next day again. And everything is still the same. But I'm not saying it can't be a new page or a new goalpost in our lives. I'm not saying that. And that's what it is to many people. They say, okay, starting the new year, we're turning over a new page. Well, God can help us do that. And sometimes that is really good for a person. Because we're encouraging them to let go of the past and the things that happened in the past year. I firmly believe, in the beginning of the year, that we should reflect on what has happened in the past year. I think we should reflect more on the good than on the bad. And we should be worshiping and thanking God for all the wonderful things he's done during the past year.
Yes.
But we don't stop there. We go on back years and years, all the wonderful things that he has done. So when we do enter into a new year, it's a good year. It's a good time to be thankful in reflection of what God has done, some of the things he's done for us. And every one of us in this room Excuse me. Everyone in this room could probably testify of something wonderful that happened to them, their family,
absolutely,
or something that happened during the past year. And those are the kind of testimonies that will bring victory into people's lives. Because Revelation says very clearly, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the Word. So somebody speaks something, the Word. Somebody speaks the Word of their testimony. Every time I shout out something that God did for me, that's a word of testimony. And every time I do that, it rebukes the devil. And not only that, it thanks God, or it's thankfulness to God, or we're praising God for the things he did. And other people hear it. So other people are, yeah, that's God. And maybe it'll bring people to the Lord. Excuse me. Am I making any sense today? But it is good to reflect on some things. It is good to talk about vision, beginning of the year. There's nothing wrong with that. So turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Very familiar scripture, but we just want to look at a few things there. Psalm 37. How many of you know what Psalm 37 says in the beginning? Anybody? Once I start saying, you says, oh, yeah, yeah, I know that scripture. Psalm 37, I think I'm in the right psalm. Oh, I'm in Isaiah. No wonder it doesn't look right. Somebody changed my Bible around or something. First verse. So Psalm 37, I am looking at it from the perspective of vision. Now, I know Pastor Bill has talked a lot about purpose, right?
Yes.
So we could say purpose, and I haven't heard those messages. I think I heard one or so. But I haven't heard many of the messages that you heard about how he speaks about purpose. So, but purpose and vision could basically be the same thing, depending how you define vision and depending how you define purpose. Right?
Yes.
My purpose is this. Well, my vision is this. Your vision is usually wrapped up in the purpose that God has given to you. See, I like being down here. I can look you right in the eye. Sometimes when I look people in the eye, you know, they're looking every other place. Because they think I'm going to point them out or something. So, verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Fret. What's fret mean? Huh? Help me. What? Worry. That's a good one. Anybody else? What's fret mean? What? Fear? Anxious? What? Reaction? Fret? Fret actually means to become agitated. That's one meaning. Become agitated. It also means to get hot or angry. The word, the Greek, the word that's used here, the original word, it could be to set ablaze or to become hot or to become angry in a sense. It's more than just, oh, okay, that's fine. You become agitated about it. Agitated. You suffer emotional strain is another meaning. Or you worry, or you're vexed. What does vex mean? All these words. Who's the English teacher in here? Huh? He's the English teacher.
She is.
She is. Janet is. All right. What does vex mean, Janet?
All the above.
So it says about Lot. It says he was vexed in his soul. He was vexed because of all the evil that was around him. So he, in a sense, was agitated. He was fretting. He was vexed. I mean, vexed is even deeper to me than fretting. So actually the picture that is formed here, it is something that eats away at you little by little, fretting. It's not all this all of a sudden emotion thing. It's something that's deep within that will eat away little by little. And what does it eat away at? If we look at the evil, like it says here, don't fret because of evildoers. If I am fretting about evil, I'm allowing those things little by little to take my peace away. To take the peace of God, or it disturbs the peace of God that is within me. And I'm not allowing the peace to rule. I'm rather more involved in watching the news and getting upset because what I see day after day after day. Again, I'm not against watching the news because I think we need to be informed. Because when we're informed, we can pray. And we can pray correctly. Again, against the things that are happening in our nation and the things that are happening around us. It's part of being circumspect to be aware of what's happening. But if I constantly listen to the news over and over again, and they do all their speculation and stuff of this is going to happen and that is going to happen, after a while, you're going to be fretting because it takes away the peace. Because to combat that, we have the promises of God. We have the promises of God. We usually think for our own lives, our individual lives. But you know, we also have promises concerning corporately. And we also have promises concerning our nation. So we need to look at the promises more than we look at the other side that would cause us to lose the peace that God has for us. Come on, I'm preaching really good. You know why I say those things? Just to loosen us up a little bit. That's why I say those things. So here it says, do not fret because of evildoers. Sometimes we can fret because we think that the evildoers are prospering more than we are. I don't mean just prospering financially. I just mean they're in control. And we don't know how to take care of that, but we can take care of it through prayer. And that's why we have groups that I've raised up over the years to pray for the nation. Because when we pray corporately, maybe I should just speak it in tongues. Of course, then it wouldn't benefit you because you wouldn't understand it. If we pray corporately, there's an extra power in that when we pray in unity and corporately. And that's why you've seen prayer groups for our nation over the last 5, 6, 7 years. Thousands of prayer groups throughout this nation have been praying for deliverance from the evil in our nation. So that we would have righteous leaders. We have a Monday night group that we do. And that's the reason we started it probably 5 years ago. Our purpose was to pray for the nation together and intercede and pray for the nation. And we still meet every other Monday night. Our purpose is still the same, even though we have seen great victories. Because back then, things looked pretty bleak in our nation. We had leaders that were taking us down the wrong path. Then all of a sudden, something happened in the last election. Did you notice in the last election how all of a sudden things seemed, I mean, there was just something lifted. Did anybody else notice that? I mean, some heaviness just lifted. And we've been in that now, but that doesn't mean that we should let down on our prayers. Because the enemy will continue to batter us until we get so tired of it that we say, we're just not going to pray anymore. But we can't do that. We can't do that concerning our nation. We can't do that concerning our families. We can't do that concerning anything that we're believing God for to come against the enemy. We can't. But that's one of the enemy's strategies. He just hounds and hounds and hounds until we become complacent. Then we say it's no use. But there is use. Yeah, he wears us down. There is your prayers, our prayers from 5 years ago are still working today. Your prayers from a long time ago are still working today. We think sometimes when we say amen, that's it. That's when God begins to work. Absolutely. He doesn't always say, he doesn't say amen. He says, okay, that's it, I'm done. No, that prayer, for years and years and years, he will answer that prayer. Maybe some of your prayers won't be answered to eternity. I don't know. But he does answer our prayers. Faith-filled prayers. The most powerful prayers is when we pray the word of God. And then it says in Mark 11, 23, 24, it says, believe that you receive when you pray. You believe by faith, you receive when you pray. Not tomorrow, but when I pray now. That's faith. Faith is always now. It's always present tense. If it goes in the future, then it's hope. And hope is good. But faith is now, present tense. So I believe for certain people in my family to be on fire for God. I pray and I believe I receive now because of what God promised me. And some of you may have individuals in your family that are not serving God. So we pray over and over again, move in their lives. Well, yeah, that's okay. But do I believe that I receive when I pray? Do I see them when I pray? Hands lifted up, full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Because it's now. And that prayer is working day after 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 day.
Yes.
Continues to work. So be encouraged today. Your prayers are heard as long as they're faith-filled prayers. Well, I got to wrap this up already. So do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Don't be envious about them. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's not as easy to well, look at that person. I mean, you know, they're as evil as can be. And look at them. Look how they're prospering and all this. Don't be envious. Don't fret. They don't have what you got. We can have what they have. They can have what we have. But we got the peace of God. Because here, look. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Have you ever noticed how quickly grass withers? I mean, as soon as it doesn't rain a little bit, your lawn gets brown. Right? And it withers. That's how the wicked are. All right, so then here's what we do. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. This is what we do. Rather than fretting, do these things. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Every one of these phrases has a message. I could preach a sermon on every one of them. Delight yourself also in the Lord. See, here's the scripture you all know. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. Excuse me. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the new day. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Here it is again. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. I got 2, 4, 6, 8 things that he tells us here. 8 things. And we'll probably pick up next week on it again. Like Randy now. He teaches Timothy and he never gets to it. He does. He knows what I'm talking about. If you're here for the previous hour, you know what I'm talking about. I like to pick on him. Because he sometimes picks on me. Not very often, though. All right, so here's the words. And then we'll talk some more about this in light of vision or in light of what God has called us to do. Number 1, The words, the main words in this passage that I just read, number one is trust. Trust. Number two is do good. Do good. In the time of waiting for your desire to be fulfilled, do good. Number three, dwell in. Dwell in the land. Number four, feed on. Feed on his faithfulness. What we were talking about earlier. Feed on his faithfulness. Let's not feed on the negatives. Feed on the positives. Number five, delight in. Delight in. Number six, commit. Commit. Number seven, rest. That's a big one.
Yes.
That is really a big one. When I'm truly in faith, I'm resting. When I'm truly in faith, I'm not battling. I'm resting. Of course, I stand. That's what we're called to do. We're supposed to stand in the face of the enemy. Stand to me can be a position of rest. You're not coming here. I'm not leaving this place. Jimmy Swigert years ago preached the message. You all know who Jimmy Swigert was? Years ago he preached the message. I think we were we had a couple of little kids. And I was laying on the sofa one Sunday and he preached this message. He said, I've left my pea patch for the last time. And it's based on one of David's men way back. And they were called lentils back then. And he says, I'm not leaving my lentil patch, even though the Philistines were coming after him.
He took his stand.
I never forget that message. So rest. And then the last one was wait. Wait. So again, trust. Do good. You find all these in this passage. Trust. Do good. Dwell in, feed on, delight in, commit, rest, and wait. And you have to come back next week to get the rest of it, to get the rest of the story. No, but I just want to encourage us in these areas of vision that God has given to us. Or maybe purpose, you want to call it purpose. And we, even in the midst of that, we can be so content, even though we may be waiting for something to be fulfilled, we can still flow and operate in the contentment that God has for us. In faith, in believing in faith, we can rest. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, like I said before, I don't know how to close these things. I shouldn't say that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Holy Spirit in our midst. And Lord, I pray for each person, all of us in this room. I pray, Lord, that we would rest in the things that you've promised us. Individual things, Lord.
Yes.
Maybe waiting, but Lord, in the meantime, that we would not fret, but that we would be at peace. We thank you. Let's thank him for his Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Worship you, Lord. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You maybe have prayed many times for one thing. And you say, when is it ever going to come to pass? He's saying today that he heard that prayer way back.
Yes.
And continue to stand. Continue to stand. Continue to stand. I think it has a lot to do with believing for somebody to come to the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. My grandmother's prayers. Way back in 1960, 61, 62. She died in 1965. We found out from her Bible that she prayed for us, for her family. She lived in our house. She had the grandparents' quarters, her and my grandfather. We found out she was a godly woman. She didn't know much about healing and things like that, so she died at a very early age. She was only 65, and she died in 1965. So we found out she was praying for us. Her prayers, you probably heard me say this before, but her prayers are still making an impact today. 60 years later, her prayers are still making an impact in the world. How? Through me. Through my brothers and sisters. And it's amazing how many of us, we all know the Lord, all 12 of us. I mean, my mom had something to do with it too. But I give a lot of credit to my grandmother because she prayed way back. All 12 of us, as far as I know, all 12 of us are filled with the Holy Ghost. Many of them be involved in some kind of ministry. I'm talking about public ministry. You a special family? Somebody said, "My, you must be a special family." We're not a special family. We're not any more special than your family. Somebody prayed. She had four daughters. It's amazing how many of our cousins are born again, filled with God, yes, in ministry, because she prayed for all of them. So take courage today. Your prayers are heard. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And we'll see you all again next week. Hallelujah.